Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heal My Voice Radio. Now, when you hear the typewriter in the background, even though most of us don't use typewriters any longer, when you hear that in the background, then you know that it is an author show. But we're all about writing, and so we have that memory of the typewriter and the words that are coming into it. Well, Heal My Voice, this radio show, is a show that is dedicated to providing information and engaging in conversations that support women. Listening to their inner voice, reclaiming personal power, reconnecting to their inner authority, empowering women through the exploration and healing of their stories. That is our mission. Well, my name is Andrea Hyland. I'm the founder of Heal My Voice. And in the Heal My Voice projects, we create environments for empowering women and girls to heal a story in their life and to connect with their inner authority and innate wisdom. This is the wisdom they were born with that has been covered up by trauma, grief, loss, change, and even experiences where they were told to sit down and shut up. The subtle, covert, and overt ways our voices have been turned down. We believe healing an old story leads women to a richer expression of their unique gifts and leadership and gives them access to all of their wisdom. The programs and all of the books that come out of the Heal My Voice projects are on healmyvoice.org. And just to presence right from the beginning in January, we're going to have a 3-year celebration taking time to shine a spotlight on each of the books and all the stories and all the women. For a 3-year, it's just time to go back and relook at those stories and talk about them. So this is the 5th of 7 radio shows highlighting the contributing authors leading up to the launch of the book, Innovative Voices, True Stories by Women Awakening a New World. This is the completion of a 9-month process where women went deeply into a story from their past to explore a personal awakening. The radio shows are a way for each of us to speak about the experience as we integrate the things we learned into our day-to-day life and to help you awaken to your own stories. So before we start to talk about our stories today, Cassandra Herbert and I are going to both share excerpts from our stories, I want to ask you a few questions. When you hear the word innovation, what or who do you think of? Do you think of a famous inventor or an entrepreneur, a leading-edge Fortune 500 company or a startup, a Nobel Peace Prize winner? Do you ever think of yourself as an innovator? Or how about the woman you are standing next to in the grocery line? The woman who is running an online business? The woman who is playing with her child at the playground? Well, in an inspirational TED Talk called The Art of Innovation, Denise Michaelides describes 3 ways to innovate. The first way, innovation can be very radical or breakthrough. This is probably the one we're most common with. You know, it's something new. Landing a man on the moon was an innovation. The second way is redefining the way an existing company or product operates. Like furniture is not a new idea, but IKEA manufactures furniture in a very differentiated, innovative way. But the third way is often overlooked, and this is the one that we have been exploring as Innovative Voices with Women Awakening a New World. The third way of innovating is continuous improvement, lots of small change, all the time. And that is what we have been exploring, our own way of being everyday innovators, looking at our lives, awakening to something new, having continuous improvement, lots of small change all the time. All right, so we're going to start with Cassandra. With Cassandra's story is Where Are the Feathers? That's the name of her story. And I'm going to tell you something about Cassandra. She is a holistic nurse consultant, a psychotherapist, wellness educator, healthy eating coach, speaker and author, and creator of Zest and Harmony. Cassandra has built her life around empowering people to advocate themselves for themselves and adopt lifestyle changes to support their own wellness. After seeing her own health and life challenged by the Superwoman syndrome, she was forced to reevaluate and reframe her lifestyle, career, and relationships. Out of that experience, she developed an 8-part holistic system to support the busy professional, real-life superwoman, in ditching overwhelm and stress, creating a rhythm of doing with being, and building health, happiness, and ease in all areas of her life. You can read more about Cassandra on zestandharmonycounseling.com with her Zest and Harmony blog. And that is on the show page. So you can actually just go and click on that and go right over there and take a look after the show. So hi, Cassandra.
Hello, Andrea.
Well, I just love how many different ways our paths are crossing. I definitely have appreciated your healthy eating coach and photos. So I just want to say that. I am like, I like to say that I stalk Cassandra on Facebook to follow her and to read her blog also. So I just want to turn this over to you now. So if you want to read some of your story or tell people about your story, however you want to create context and bring the listeners in.
Okay, thank you. So I think I'm going to read a part of my story, and it's funny because I'm going back and forth between either reading the beginning or the end of it.
And so or think, read both. Whatever
okay,
you want.
There we go. Yes. Yeah. So I, you know, so I'm going to start out with the beginning, and my story has different affirmations in it. And so it starts out with affirmation. I trust that my highest good and greatest joy are unfolding now, hashtag Zest and Harmony. I was in a 4-week mindset makeover class, and as part of that class, we were asked to focus on seeing feathers. There were over 4,000 people in this group from around the world. The purpose of the exercise was to show us how we, when we focus on something, it expands. Like after you buy a car, you see several of the same car driving on the road. 2 weeks into the class, I started questioning my ability to manifest because I had not seen any feathers. I started saying to myself, see, this doesn't work for me. Why is it sometimes I can manifest, but other times I cannot? I just don't get it. One Saturday night, I listened to the recording for the 3rd week of the class, and the leader of this course said, I know some of you are questioning your ability to manifest. You think you haven't seen any feathers, yet all of you have seen feathers because you are part of this Facebook group. Everyone is posting pictures of the feathers they are seeing, so you have seen feathers. She challenged us to take a step back and see what our expectation of seeing a feather was. Well, my expectation was to see an actual feather on the ground from a bird. She encouraged us to look at it differently. That is when the light bulb went off in my head. That morning, while on my deck, I saw a family of geese walking in the distance. I even had taken a picture of them and posted it on Facebook. Wow, there it was, my flock of feathers. Not just one feather, but an abundance of feathers. I laughed because God is always showing me abundance. It was just my expectation that was limiting me. If I limited myself with how I feather showed up in my life, how else have I been limiting myself? That was the start of me taking a step back and looking at how abundance, blessings, creativity, and things in my heart that I desired have shown up in my life. I didn't always see it because I was looking for a different color wrapping paper. It's about changing the way I look at things. It was about seeing what has been there all along. And then the last part of it is exactly what Andrea was talking about in the beginning of this whole innovation. Like, I was like, I'm not innovative. So the last part of my story says, I am innovative. Affirmation. I know I am a powerful and wholesome force of good. Hashtag Zest and Harmony. Initially, when I was inspired to be a part of this book, I thought to myself, but I'm not innovative. What will I write about? Well, all of this is a bit like cooking. You might have the recipe, but you don't have all the ingredients. So do you say forget it, or do you create your own recipe? I have literally learned to create my own recipes, not just in cooking, but in my business, in my life, and in my way of being. With trips to the farmer's market, now that's my happy place, and the way I share photos of the meals I cook on Instagram and Facebook, as well as my passion for food, creativity, music, dance, business, and community, I have new and renew ideals all the time. I am innovative.
I'll tell you, whenever I hear a woman read her story, I just want to sit in it for a moment and feel the vibration of your words, your, you know, I mean, we all carry a vibration, right? It's like the tone of our voice, the energy that we put out into the world. So I have a question, but I just wanted to see if there's anything you want to share in having just read your story, part of your story here.
No. Every time I read it, I would say, yes, there is something. Every time I read it, there's a new, like, empowerment. You know, like, there's this, like, oh, this is me. This is me speaking my truth. It's like I can feel it in my heart and in my solar plexus. And each time I read it, it's like, wow, it's like, this is who I am. And this is, and I am all these things in that I say I am in the story. And it just, I don't know. I almost stand up straighter. It's like this boost of energy of like empowerment.
Well, so when you, it feels like this is tied in with the way you live your life and the way you are helping women to, you know, to like slow down, stop, look at your wellness, look at your health, look at your inner dialogue and all. And so I just want to say, what would you say to women about why it's important to look at this and find the power?
Great question. Because when we don't, and when I haven't, it so limits us. It so disempowers us. And it actually brings more fatigue. Like, I know for myself and the women that I have worked with, it's like we can get so caught up in the busyness of life, in the shoulds of life, that we lose the concept of ourselves and our truth. And when we're not like living our truth, when we're not even exploring our truth, what happens is we feel more fatigued. We feel more overwhelmed. I mean, for many years, I had this full schedule. I mean, it was like, yes, I got a high from the busyness because it was like, ooh, you know, how are you doing so much? And yet, Well, there was part of me that was happy with that, but there was part of me, if I really looked and went below the layers, that I wasn't. You know, it was, I wasn't actually living the life that I truly desired. And it did cause issues in every aspect of my life, because now I'm not really enjoying my work. I'm irritated in my relationship because, you know, it's like this pushing energy. But then also my health and wellness was being compromised, because it's like pushing and not being true to myself, and just feeling fatigued, but over, like, pushing beyond that. And so when we don't do that, we don't have the energy, we don't have the vitality, we don't have that zest, we certainly don't have the harmony in our life, and it just depletes us, and it ages us, and it causes so many issues, that yet when we do that, there's this shift. There's this shift in energy. And like I said, even me reading this story, there was like, woo, like there was this, like this vibrancy that I can feel that just came up within me. And so when women allow themselves to do that and allow themselves to show up, and let me tell you, it can be scary, because if you're showing up this certain way and then all of a sudden you're like trying to, you know, show up in your truth, it can be scary. But once you do it and you take that step forward, oh my goodness, and it will have a ripple effect. You'll feel better, and you know, and your choices will be different. You'll choose from that place of healthy choices.
Well, and we're rewarded so much in our society by busyness.
In terms of
from the outside world of like validation for who we are, and like, oh wow, look at how much she can do, and you know. And yet the beingness and the inner part, you know, this part of, I love how you say creating a rhythm of doing with being. It's like building your health and building the inner part of you and that connection to, well, what is it I really want to be doing in my life? But you can only find it when you're being. To hear it,
right?
It's like the, you know, the challenge.
It is.
What do you? Yeah, go ahead. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about that?
I was going to say, yeah, that was a challenge too, because a lot of times, because the being is so celebrated, and the doing is so celebrated, that I know for myself it was like guilty, you know, like, oh, you know, just rest. Relax. I thought like relaxation and rest was like a luxury, you know, like, well, they, obviously people who do that don't have things to do. I mean, I had this judgment about myself and about others, because it was like, well, they're not, you know, they you got to do. And then along with that is a lot of times people think, oh my gosh, you're when they work with me, they're scared that they're not going to get things done. So it's like having that rhythm. Just because you're being does not mean that you won't be doing. You'll actually be more productive, because it's coming from a different energy. You, like you're saying, you're going within and you're like, oh, this is what I should, not should, but this is how I show up in this world, or this is where the energy is going. And so as a result, you're actually going to be more productive. It's really, I mean, when you're in that doing and then you go in that being, it really is like this mind-bending thing, because I get a lot more done when I come from that place of being before, you know, that being energy than that doing and pushing energy.
I remember, Cassandra, being in a collaboration with someone at one point. And I felt like every time we were connecting, there was so much stress, and she had so many balls up in the air and everything. And there was one point where I was sitting in meditation, and I could feel it in my heart that her real calling was this environmental work that she was doing. Mm. And that the collaboration we were doing was actually keeping her from pouring all of her energy in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember ending that collaboration in, and it was messy, and she didn't see what I was seeing, but I just felt like I needed to stand in what I saw and believed at the time. And the next week, I saw this whole wave come from her at an event that she went to with the environment. Like I could just see her leadership rising mm-hmm. in that and feel her passion and everything. And so, you know, I mean, it's one of the ways that I see women trying to do and be everything. And I've been there myself, and it's like just taking the time to have practices that slow mm-hmm. us down or notice what's going on. You know, what are we focusing on? I mean, I love your line, you know, when we focus on something, it expands. Well, where's the focus if it's in 20 different directions mm-hmm. when the power is in really five? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any words on that?
Oh yeah, and it's right. Because it's that challenge of like, you know, I have all these balls in the air, and I there's been many times, and I still can get caught up in that, but I notice it quickly now. You know, quicker. I would say quicker now, and it's like, oh no, this is not where my passion is. You know, this is not where, you know, my focus, and when I say should, I don't mean should from a place, but should be, you know, and when you can, like you're saying, like, step back and look, oh my goodness, and when you do that, so I've done that, and recently in my life, I'm giving up a part of my business, which was, like, huge for me, and it's like, once I gave, like, that up, or that I'm in the process of giving you that, you're creating space for what you truly desire. And a lot of times I know for myself, I've been like, oh, I really want this or I really want that. There was no room in my life for it. It's like, it's not going to happen. And I'm thinking, why isn't it happening? Why can't it happen? It's part of my story. Like, why can't I manifest this? Why? Because there's no room, Cassandra. There's no room, but I don't see that. And it's like, when I get rid of the stuff that no longer serves me, that's kind of toxic, that's draining me, that's, you know, not what juices me. When I get rid of that stuff, all of a sudden, like really, once I make that decision, it is instantaneously, it's like within an hour, at least 24 hours, the thing that I really desire is showing up, or the person to connect me to what I really, the opportunity is showing up. I'm having a conversation about it, and it's just like, wow, you know, it's just like when you can get rid of those things, it's almost like weight, you know, that's weighing mm-hmm. you down, but you're not going to even know that because we get in such that automatic mode that, yeah, like you're saying, having those rituals. I know for myself, I've got to have those morning rituals. I have to meditate. And sometimes it's 5 minutes and sometimes it's 20, you know, but if I do that and I really open myself up, you know, to be like, okay, God, guide me, you know, like, I know Marianne Williams says who, you, and I think Oprah says that too, like, who do you want me to, you know, see today? What do you want me to do? You know, and then waiting for that answer, and it might not come right then and there, but there's like this guidance. I feel so much more in the flow when I'm in that being energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I want to shine a light also when you said that sometimes meditating is 5 minutes. And I feel like that's really important for everyone to understand that, you know, maybe you have an image of like, oh, people spend an hour meditating in order to, no, 5 minutes. Because it also sets you up that through the day, pause every once in mm-hmm. a while. You know, there will be points where things are going along in my day or I'm stuck with things. Like things just aren't flowing. So then it's like, okay, just stop for a minute. Like take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just 1 minute of connecting into that meditative field that's been cultivated by even having 5 minutes every day. And it's like, wait, what's the next step right now? and trusting that you'll get a glimmer of something, even a small step to take, and then the answers do come. So yeah, I love that. So I wanted to ask you, I wanted to ask you two things. One, you started to talk about your business, and one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, what is awakening in you now that you've taken this time to reflect on your life and discover the power? And then is there anything you want to tell people about how to work with you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
So there's two questions. You can leave those in whatever way you want to.
Yeah, so in my business, it's interesting business. The things that put, super growth on your personal growth is marriage. I don't have kids, but I heard kids and business really put, super growth on your personal growth. And so my business has evolved and transformed, and as a result, so has my life. And so recently my business, and this has been because I've needed to pause. I've really needed to pause and really go deep and go within and look at the things that really bring me joy in my business. And of course, we're going to have things that don't, that we're just going to have to do, But the big part of my business, part of my business has been therapy, doing therapy, Zest and Harmony Counseling, hence Zest and Harmony Counseling. And I've been doing it for almost 6 years. And I'm also a nurse, and I work at a hospital. So initially when I got into business, I thought my focus was going to be to get out of the hospital, to focus on, this therapy practice and everything. And then as part of that therapy practice was a lot of the things that I do with health and wellness, which really excite me. And so I thought, okay, this is going to be my way out of the hospital. And I was so focused on this is my way out of the hospital that as years went by, I recognize, wait a minute, yes, I enjoy the connection and the sharing with therapy clients. I enjoy teaching them about health and wellness, but my real joy comes from speaking, educating, sharing, trainings, consulting. I love that. It just makes me so happy. And I was thinking, I'm not doing that with my therapy. I mean, I'm doing some educating, but basically they're coming and sharing and, it's more of the therapeutic process. So I was well, then why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? What's my long-term goal? And I was my long-term goal is not to have, this large therapy practice. My long-term goal is to get into corporations and to speak and to train. And I thought, okay. So I decided okay, I'm going to let it go. So over the next really 4 to 5 months, I'm actually my closing date to my therapy practice is March 31st. It would be sooner, but my lease isn't up till April. So I was and I'm going to tell you, once I really made that decision and made it out loud, energetically, I had felt this expansiveness in my heart, my heart opened up, my shoulders relaxed. I really felt a weight lifted. And I was are you serious? Really? I said, I start getting calls and connections for other opportunities of things that I want my business direction to go in. So that's kind of where it's going. I still, because I have really my Zest and Harmony coaching, consulting, speaking. So it's still Zest and Harmony. It's still the busy professional real life superwoman. In fact, most of my markings on that, many people don't even know I'm a therapist. So, people could be listening to this and go, oh, I didn't even know, because it's not the thing that I market. It's what I've been marketing is more the thing that uses me. And so it's going to be more, more of that. Getting into corporation speaking and working with women in that coaching consulting thing on and doing programs. I love group programs. So and you've been a part of them. My detox, my
oh yeah. I love
it. Detoxes around the seasons. And so I'm going to actually expand, do 21-day detoxes. I have my signature program is like my 7-week release the sugar blues program, which actually goes to, because a lot of people think the food is important, but a lot of it is the mindset. And I really look at the chakra systems, and I'm a certified food and spirit practitioner, which is through Dr. Deanna Minnick, which she looks at them as systems. She calls them systems. So it's really looking at those things that block us, in our mindset, or so the root and the root chakra and stuff like that. So you're looking at like, okay, what were you taught as a child about food and sugar and the traditions and stuff like that? So it's really like taking it beyond like that and looking at it, going deeper, because I'm really about let's get to the root of it so that you can shift. So I'm going to do more group programs, more challenges in my work with people, and then also getting into corporations and doing, like I said, trainings and speakings and consulting.
So going to your blog, your website, zestinharmony.com.
Yes.
Wait, do I have that right?
Yeah, it's zestinharmonycounseling.com.
Oh, counseling.com.
Actually,
there it is. It's on
there. Yes. Mm-hmm. But guess
it's
what?
On
actually,
the website
actually
or on the show
process,
page. Yeah.
I'm in the process of getting a new website. So you wouldn't be wrong if someone went there, they actually could. There is a little thing that's a holding spot that you could sign up at zestinharmony.com. But if you want to go to my blog, I usually do a blog a couple times a month, and my most recent blog was Here's How to Make Cooking Fun. So my blogs are basically a lot on food, but also on mindset, also basically food and herbs and essential oils and mindset things that can support you in your health and wellness. So, yeah, if you go there and you go right at the top to blog, and then if you want to, I think on my front page, you can sign up for, like, if you want to get on my mailing list and to find out about my upcoming services, you can do that. Even though I'm looking at my website now, I'm like, okay, yeah, that needs to, because right now it's a three-variety of food report. But
well,
my blog
is ever-changing. You have offerings that continue. So even if someone's gone to your website before, I'd encourage them to go again and see what is the current program. You offer so many cool things. I did want to ask you when your next detox program is coming up, if you have an idea of that.
I thought about the autumn, which is a perfect time, but so is winter. So I'm actually going to do one in the new year, because the holidays, it's always challenging. So the new year, stay ready for that. My 21-day one will be, I haven't set a date, but it'll be in January.
Okay, good. I will look for that. I was hoping it would be in November, but I will be there, and I'll do a little prep work ahead of time based on other programs I've been in with you. Anyway, I love it. It's really good.
Well, you know what? Just before we, it's funny that you say that, because now you're like the second person. So you know what? There might be one coming in November.
All right. Everybody go and look for November. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be in Seattle for 5 weeks writing on a writer's retreat. I mean, my own writing retreat and pet sitting there in a house in Seattle. So I was hoping to take care of. Anyway, I'm going to do it whether you're doing it or not, but I'm going to check back with you and see if you're inspired to do it in November.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to switch gears to talk a little bit about my story, activating my political voice, and then something about this story and speaking with Cassandra and all is that there were a number of us who had a second story bubbling up. And I had to stop for a minute to think. I think I was the only one who then all of a sudden it just poured through me, like I had to write this story. And I know that, so I'm going to read some of my story, and then we're going to have a bit of a conversation. because I feel like there's something that ties these stories together. So for anyone who doesn't know, I am the founder of Heal My Voice. I guess I said that at the beginning of the show. But so the mission is about supporting women in finding their voices. And so as someone who facilitates and leads programs, I'm also challenged to look at places where I'm not sharing my voice. So activating my political voice, I'm going to read three different parts of my story. So here's the beginning. When I was a senior in high school, I asked my economics teacher how to decide if I was a Democrat or a Republican. I would be turning 18 on my next birthday, and I wanted to be prepared to vote. He said, "What are your parents?" I told him they were Republicans. He said, "Then you are a Republican." This was 1975. I was in a process of deciding where to go to college, what to study, and how to live life as a responsible, informed adult. I was looking for guidance from my elders, and that included being prepared to register to vote. After doing a bit of research at the public library, I registered as a Democrat, and in the 1976 presidential election between Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford, I voted for the Republican candidate, Gerald Ford. My main reason for voting for him was because I was influenced by people who said it was important to have consistent representation and that there was a learning curve when you become president. So Ford was in office, had experience, and our country needed consistency. I did not do any research on the different platforms or take time to reflect about the thoughts and feelings I had about what our country needed. Whenever I met people who were talking about politics, I pushed them away and distanced myself from the conversations. I didn't feel smart enough, and I hadn't been raised in an environment where I was encouraged to think and ask questions. Quite the contrary. Even the burning questions I had about life were met with "mind your manners" and "children are to be quiet and listen." I knew voting was important. That was instilled in me from a young age, to always vote. I also heard my mother say that she voted the way my father voted because if she didn't, it would cancel his vote. Well, as I grew older, I told her that that was the point. Vote for who you believe should be president. In my early voting years, I had learned to choose a candidate based on my emotions and a few sound bites, political ads, listening to a few conversations from a safe distance, and casting my vote. The interaction with my economics teacher reflected what I had already been feeling in my life. Politics was ugly, messy, emotional, and mean. It was too complicated. The issues were too complex, and I didn't feel my voice was that important. The limited ways I observed women in the news reinforced that they were too angry and emotional in political conversations, and I was receiving messages that anger is bad and I should learn to avoid and suppress it in every area of my life. So later on in my story, I wrote this paragraph. In February 2016, I began to stick my toe in the water and wrote a Facebook post in support of Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States. The political conversations were tough. The first few posts brought anger and daggers of rage pointed at my tender heart. People wrote comments that were inflammatory and directed towards my character. I wanted to run away from this conversation, but my inner voice was stronger than my discomfort. The internal dialogue was, how can you encourage women to use their voices and speak up if you don't inform yourself about issues in our country and use your voice to engage in conversations? I got clear on my intention. I wanted to hold a conversational space where everyone has a right to their opinion and with a, let's keep bringing the conversation back to the issues. Intention, gun control, women's health, Affordable Care Act, taxes, leadership, and more. It was hard at first. I lost Facebook and personal friends. I had to find a way to recover from the backlash of emotions in the conversations, stay connected to what I really believe, and to keep coming back to, why do you feel that way? What do you think and feel are the most important issues in our country and for your family and community? Curiosity, wonder, and listening were key. And then here's the last part I want to read. Every time someone or something breaks through a barrier, it removes limitations in our minds. The old coding dies and the new codes are installed. In the speech to accept the Democratic nomination for president, Hillary Clinton spoke many powerful words. But when we heard her say the words, and so, my friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination for President of the United States, old coding died and new coding was installed in you, in me, and in generations to come. So I want to say a few words about this, and then I want to make a connection between a conversation you and I have had, Cassandra. And that is that I don't know that, okay, so awakening happens in layers. So even when I'm saying certain things now, it's not like I didn't know something and then I woke up to it. Like I didn't go from 0 to 100. It's like layers of this. Like in some ways I understood that the images and the roles that I saw women playing in the world gave me like an imprint of what I thought was possible. So in some ways I understood that if I never saw that a woman was president of a company or saw how a woman balanced being a mother and having a job or being in different roles, that if I didn't see it, it's as if it not possible, doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so for me, Hillary Clinton, I just felt like I had to write something about her because of the history where I really started waking up to her leadership was when she wrote It Takes a Village, and also when she was fighting for universal health care. And it was the first time I was really aware when I was watching the news and all of a woman in a room filled with men who was speaking up about something and fighting for something. And, you know, it was all messy because it's like, how do we go from one time period to another, or even the role she was playing as first lady that no one had ever played before. And so it, you know, it gets messy. There's discomfort. There's all these things come up. But I remember just watching her feeling like, wow, there's something here that's possible. And so the thing that I wanted to say also is that you started out with the, when we focus on something, it expands. So it's like the possibilities expand when we use our authentic voices to express out in the world. So I'm just realizing that I must have set the show for 45 minutes. All right, well, we're going to continue. I just want everyone to know we're going to talk for at least another 15 minutes. So if you're listening live, it'll be on the recording. I'm not sure why I did that, but anyway, it happened. So what I wanted to say is I'm going to stay with the I for a moment. I was really impacted by the National Museum of African American History and Culture opening on September 24th, 2016. I happened to be in Seattle at the time, and the opening is obviously in Washington, D.C. And I happened to turn on Facebook, I think, and saw somebody post that it was being aired live. And I sat there and watched the whole all the ceremonies. And I was aware of how, again, it was this moment in history. And I had tears streaming down my face because I felt like all of those things I believed in, watching Martin Luther King Jr. and the hope of the civil rights movement, and it all felt like it was connected with the freedom for all of us to expand into who we really are, for our unique gifts to be used in the world in a way that is expansive. So I know that you have been really impacted by going to the museum. I haven't had the good fortune of being there yet in person, and you also went with your dad. So I wanted to know if you would share a little bit about, like, the story that's been bubbling up about this, or how it has impacted you.
I just want to say I appreciate your story and the words of your story. It just got me thinking about different things. So the museum. So yeah, it's been open now for almost a year, and I, like you, I had saw on Facebook when it kind of, like, I knew it was opening up and seeing all that, and I was able to go to it in August twice. Once with my mother and my nephew and my husband, we went, and then another 2 weeks later with my father, which was really nice because there's so much to see. And it was amazing because when I went, the history, especially on the lower level, so even the way they designed it, like, the lower level is really about, like, pre-slavery and then slavery. And just being down there and learning all that stuff that, of course, I didn't learn in school. Like, so part of the whole thing was like, and I knew that because I've learned more as an adult. So you talk about, like, you know, images and stuff like that. Like, in school, it takes me back to, like, we learned about slavery briefly, and, you know, maybe Frederick Douglass and Rosa Parks, the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King, and that was, like, all, you know. And this was just, like, it was such an experience, like, so many emotions. So that lower level was just, like, the heaviness of realizing that this happened to, you know, as a people, you know, that this happened. And the other emotion was just like, wow, like, this isn't being taught in schools. This isn't being taught anyway. It's not, you know, I mean, part of American history is this history, but we're not learning that. So there was that heaviness. But then there was this, like, what I found that I really enjoyed was there were so many different cultures and ethnicities and people there. And they were, a lot of people brought their kids, and I thought, and so there was, like, this hope and joy that, okay, yes, now there's this museum that people can go to and you know, see this and learn about it. And so as it was interesting how they made it, because you felt really heavy. Like, I mean, I felt, like, really heavy and sad and so many emotions down there. There was, you know, anger, just all different types of emotions on that bottom level. But as you go up, you see how, despite all of that, that African Americans, and I actually say Black Americans, and that's a whole nother thing, like, you know, like, what say and stuff. But mm-hmm. Black Americans were even able to still maintain a culture and still become and do things, be innovators, you know, be inventors and all this stuff. And so they, as you climbed up and went to the different floors and saw this, so they had sports and music and then things that people created and artists and everything, it's almost like you list it. You, like, are like, yes, there's this, like, this is still a part of our history, and these are things that
have been done over the years, and yet we don't know about those many times. You know, we know about like the things that are popular or something like that, but there was that hope and that like uplifting that despite all of this, these are things that are still, you know, still the people that we were able to overcome. And it's like, you just, I mean, and when you get to the top floor, it is like the entertainment and the music. And it was almost like I just wanted to break out in a dance because it was just so joyful that, you know, it's almost like, yeah, those chains have been broken, yet they haven't. But, you know, like you felt like there's still hope and there's still inspiration, you know. And it was powerful going with my dad because I would say, and this is going to be part of my story is, And it will eventually be a story. Growing up, I grew up in suburbia, and so I went to school, and I was like, I think, in many of my classes, the only Black child in the class, and sometimes there might be two, and so it was. I didn't have that. I didn't have a Black teacher until college, you know. And that was in an African American history class, you know. So I just, you know, and so, and then my complexion. So many people would argue with me and say, "Well, you're not all the way Black. What are you? You know, because my eyes are light." And there's, and they would argue with me. I'm like, "Both of my parents are Black," and they're like, "No, no." Mm-hmm. You know, so you know. Mm-hmm. And then I remember like the different men I dated in my life. So this goes back to my father. Were just very much more conscious. I would say conscious about being Black American. I wouldn't say I was just very conscious of that. And I remember one of my boyfriends in my 20s saying, "Do you feel like you are oppressed?" I'm like, "No. I mean, what's, I mean," and so, and my dad was very conscious and very like, you know, just very conscious of like the struggle of Black Americans and stuff. So being there with him and being able to share in that experience and talk and then even tell him my experience, which he had no idea that that was my experience of like not feeling Black enough. And even though, mm-hmm. And then not feeling like I belonged in white groups and stuff. And he had no idea. So that opened up that and made a connection of us to grow and stuff like that. So, It was just really, you know, a powerful experience and recognizing, you know, that there are Black women who I didn't even know about who have done great things throughout history. And then it does. It inspires you. You know, it's like when you see women, you know, like when you see, like you're saying, in politics and all this stuff. And when you see someone that, you know, looks like you, and is doing that stuff, it's even more inspiring.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to have this conversation because to me this is part of our awakening on the planet is understanding that and things that, you know, I mean, I feel like when Black Lives Matter became the hashtag after more visibility of what was happening with or for Black people in the world, I was like, huh? I thought we were like, you know, because I live in a liberal bubble sometimes, you know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, people are different colors. They're from different countries. They have different, you know, it's heterosexual, homosexual, whatever.
Right.
Just like we're a big mixing pot of, we're a colorful salad. That's what it is, actually. We're,
yes.
You know, you can see it. The distinctions. You can see the distinctions. It's not that. But I didn't realize how people were being treated in mm-hmm. the world. I was just like, well, what do you mean you were treated that way? What do you mean? You know, one of the women in our group who, you know, she's a professional woman raising a child. She's super intelligent. She lives in a good neighborhood, whatever these labels are that I'm putting out here. and she was chased down in a grocery store parking lot being called a nigger, you know, and it was just like, huh, what? Wait, what world are we living in? So I feel like the reason we're having conversations like this, and the reason there are things like right now on Facebook, the Me Too, which is mm-hmm. which is bringing up all of the secrets. So it's
right.
not about like, oh, let's get back to kumbaya. No, it's about let's reveal things and let's have conversations and go from there. So we don't live in a world like this any longer, but we actually start making changes. One of the quotes that I always have, like a bunch of quotes in the book, and one of the ones that I chose under I Am Innovative is from Shirley Chisholm. And her quote is, "You don't make progress by standing on the sidelines, whimpering and complaining. You mm-hmm. make progress by implementing ideas." And to me, I chose that quote because I felt like, you know, she was someone who didn't necessarily believe that she would be able to be elected as president, you know, but that she had a voice and she was going to step up and say, I have ideas and let's put some action to these ideas. Let's look at what's actually happening and then implement new ideas. And that's what I feel, that there are many women who came before us that did that, and making them visible in the world and talking about the history of where we were and how I'm going to share a revealing thing. One of the reasons that in the introduction I said woman instead of a person is because when I realized I said the person you're standing next to in the grocery line, I automatically thought of a man as an innovator. Mm. And I thought, wow, how did I, you know, that's inside of me. You know,
right.
as much as I work with women and work to raise women into equality, and I was like, okay, then I'm still at a point where I need to declare a woman. Do you see that woman standing in the grocery line as an innovator? Yes, she is an innovator. She is every day mm-hmm. making choices and decisions for her family, in her business, on waking up the world. So that's what I've got. We're at the top of the hour. I just wanted to see if you have anything else you want to say, and then I'll announce the book launch.
Okay, I'll just say briefly, I love that, you know, that we're having these conversations, you know, because it is so important to, like, yeah, to open this up and to see, you know, where we're at, where we were, you know, where we're at, and having that conversation. Because the more we, like, get into, and I know I've been in that, like, kind of bubble when I was dating people and they were, like, you know, getting pulled over by the police. Every black man that I dated was pulled over by the police. And I'm just like, wow. So even being a black woman, I've been in that bubble, you know, of like that, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like when we start having conversations and opening up and seeing, you know, it's like you're saying, those layers, you know, like when I'm like become more aware, it has ignited me to be more involved politically. You know, because it would be like, no, I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. That's just too toxic for me. You know what I mean? and it was actually Marianne Williamson, when I was listening to her, going, you know, we need to stop in the spiritual realm, and spirituality can actually be, you know, being spiritual and political. You want that in there. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, yeah. And so mm-hmm. it's like I appreciate having, you know, these type of conversations, and really encourage people who are listening to this to just start, you know, having these conversations and looking and seeing, like, you know what one small thing can I do, you know, to have that ripple effect? And that could just be using your voice, you know, using mm-hmm. your voice, you know, and that right there can make, can have a ripple effect, in your family, in your community, you know, in the nation.
Mm-hmm. And it can be standing up for someone.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a moment where you see that someone's being put down because of,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it is, gender, race, culture, disability, you know, there's
yeah.
lots of things, but that, you know, you see something and you're uncomfortable with it and that you speak up about it. And, you know, there's, so anyway, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to run for political office unless you're being guided to, and I encourage all to do that who are feeling guided to do that. But it can be a small action. I know I have
mm-hmm.
something that I'm sent on my phone every day by dailyaction.org. And the way that I do it is I go and I look at the information about the issue that they're telling me to call my congressperson
mm-hmm.
about. I don't just automatically make the call. I go, well, let me see how I feel about this. Is this an
mm-hmm.
issue I, that, you know, and what? So because you can also be like, oh, liberal organization, I'm just going to vote. I'm going to make the calls that they tell me to make. No, I'm going to inform myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it too, informing ourselves and then taking time to reflect on how you really feel about something, because that to me is really what your story is about, getting a different perspective
mm-hmm.
and taking the time to look for where are the feathers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to end with that because I love talking with you and I know we could go on. Maybe we'll do another show once you write your story, and we'll go into it even
mm-hmm.
more. I want to let everyone know that there is a book launch on October 27th. Right now on the Heal My Voice Facebook page, we are celebrating women who have been a part of this program, and every day we're celebrating someone and highlighting something about her, so to go over and be inspired by innovative women. And then the book will be available in paperback and Kindle on October 27th. I just got the final proof and everything, so
yay.
I know it's raring to go.
Yay!
Just really inspiring stories. And on the 27th, I'll be sharing an excerpt from each story on the Heal My Voice page. So I encourage you to go to that Facebook page. And then Beth Terrence and I are leading a 30 days of writing and reflecting, healing the past and embracing the future. And what it really is a community of people who are taking some time to have deeper listening about things that are going on in their lives, about feelings, and creating the time and space to explore that. We post a daily prompt. We have a weekly Zoom call for anyone who wants to come to be a part of the community. And we just talk about a topic and then open for anyone to share whatever's going on with them. So healmyvoice.org. It's a 30 days of writing program and it starts November 1st. All right. Anything else, Cassandra, that you want to share?
No. This has been great.
All right, well,
it's been a joy.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. I've really appreciated your voice in the program, and I look forward to your next detox program also. So thank you to the listeners for being here. Bye-bye now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.